Ready?
Okay, we're live.
Okay. Simon Kovtezai, I believe we're live. So this, basically this whole simon is an elucidation of a brisa and a sugya that starts at the end of the Daf Samachim Beis, goes on to Samach Vavam and Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch is pretty much the lashon of the brisa. Ishash rasa damach was tashmish miyad v'chdei toshit yada. Okay, this is a detail later. B'tachas akar v'tachas akesas v'titol eid livdokbo utkameach atzma. Okay, let's stop here for a second. The Gemara says earlier in the first parak that if a woman finds dam after tashmish, there are three levels. One level is what's called osium. Osium, yeah, I don't know if it's Greek or something, I'm not an expert. Osium means right away, mamish right away. With no, meaning the second the bia finishes, she checked herself. The ivor goes out, the cloth goes there, and she finds things. If osium, that's miyad mamish, then we say, was she nida during tashmish? So, vaday, yes. If it's right afterwards, then that's considered the same time. And then she was vaday nida during tashmish. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be that, going back to the end of the previous simon, if it was a time when they should have been careful and they weren't, they would bring carbon chatas for vaday doing an avera. Then there's what's called ma'achar zman. Ma'achar zman means a very short time later. What's a very short time later? A very short time later is very short time after tashmish. And what's the example the Gemara gives? In order to take a cloth, meaning if she already had the cloth in her hand was in the right place, and as soon as the Eber came out, the cloth checked, that would be miyad. What if she has to take the cloth out from under her pillow or mattress or whatever it may be? Then, how long does that take? I'm not lying with that. It takes something out. It seems like 2 seconds or something to me, but that's more than miyad. Right? So that's a very short time, such as, what's the example? Kidei, what's the lashon here? Shit. Toshit yada l'tachas l'kar l'tachas yada v'chule, right? It's like a few seconds. Then we say that's safek. That's safek, meaning they'd be chayv in ashm toloi, they would be safek d'oraisa, whether she was, that's close enough, that it's a safek d'oraisa, whether it came afterwards. After all, the blood might have come afterwards. While she was sticking her hand under the pillow to get it, she might have started bleeding. So maybe she wasn't in Yidah during Tashmish and she didn't do any of Eros, or maybe she did. So that's Suffolk. And then there's a bit more nickname, sort of Achar Zman. Right? Achar Zman. That's much later. You know, like, I don't know, a whole minute later or something. And then we assume Vaday no. Let's say a minute later she checks and she finds she's bleeding. Now, why would we assume Vaday she didn't do any of her and there was no blood during Tashmish? Because we have a rule of Chazak de Meikar. She was Bechezkas Tara. Before Tashmish, she wasn't a Nida. So, if she finds it right afterwards, that breaks the Chazak. If she finds it La'achar Zman, that breaks the Chazak. If she finds it Achar Zman, then we assume she was Bechezkas Tara until proven otherwise. When was it proven otherwise? A minute later. So she only became a Nida a minute later. Obviously, we don't really know. How do we know? We're not Nevi'im. But the point is, halachically, we assume the Cheskas Tara lasts, and she was vadai now needed during Tashmish, and she didn't need it now, but she didn't do anything wrong. That's what the Gemara says. Now, there is some debate, says the Shulchan Aruch, something very pashut. Bechdei shetoshet yada, etc. That would mean she was misafek anida during the time of Tashmish, and she'd be chayv in Ashm Toloi, meaning it would be a chiv d'oraisa because of the safek. So as long as a chiv d'oraisa because of the safek, that's already a halachic problem. Right? If it would be this, then it would be no halachic problem. But not only is this a halachic problem, because then vadai she has the aveira of bias nida, even safek aveira bias nida, and Ashm Toloi is also a problem. The Beis Yosef quotes the smag, this big problem of smag, and Beis Yosef has such trouble with it and never really resolves it, as the Bach points out. Which we'll see. The Rambam is going to say that it's not enough. Kamina. What about another shear mentioned in the Gemara? The Gemara mentioned the shear of, what about the shear of?
Kidei sheteired min hamita betibdo.
She gets out of bed and checks herself. Not she gets out of bed and then goes to find a cloth and checks herself. That's a long time. She's holding a cloth, but instead of checking herself lying down, she gets out of bed and checks herself. Yeah, it doesn't matter why she does that. We're just describing the time. So here, the Shulchan Aruch point out that it was a machlokas amoraim in the sugya.
So, basically, what about this amount of time? So, Rov Rishonim said, nope, that's a long time.
To get out of bed is so long. If she had time to get out of bed, then that is not a problem at all. I mean, well, she's a Nida now, but it's not a problem with her Bia. There's no problem in the Bia, because we assume, through Cheskas Tara, the blood only came after the Bia. The Smag and a minority Rishonim saying, nope, that's also a problem. What's the basis of this Machlokas? Beis Yosef says he doesn't understand the Smag at all. And here, excuse me, I just forgot the names of some of the Amorim. It was Rav Ashi versus... sorry, give me half a second. Rav Chisda.
It's really not Machlokas Amorim, Rav Ashi versus Rav Chisda. This was Rav Chisda. This was Rav Ashi. Beis Yosef says we can't pass like Rav Ashi because the sugya is against him. The Bach says, no, you can't pass like Rav Ashi's minority opinion. So the Smag minority opinion says that this amount of time is basically the same as this amount of time, and it's a problem, and a rice a problem. But most Rishonim say, no, like Rav Chisda, that amount of time is a long amount of time. Okay, the Maisa will see the Shulchan Aruch, obviously, Paskins, like Rav Rishonim. He doesn't say the amount of time it would take to stick your hand under the pillow or to get out of bed. He only mentions sticking your hand under the pillow. Getting out of bed would be a long time. Doesn't matter, because the Ramah is going to say we're not Bekiyim in these times anyway, so we can't make such fine chibukim. Okay, so that's one point that came up in the background of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, there's no way that people were ever that bucky in exactly the difference between 2 seconds and 8 seconds.
Why not?
I'm saying, like...
Nowadays, lots of people are bucky in that and lots
saying,
of things.
That's not what I'm saying. How can there be a change in, like, knowing the difference in a few seconds? Like, you either know it or you don't. I don't get why it's, nowadays you're not bucky anymore according to the Ramah.
That is a great question.
I'm like gushers. This is like
that's a great question. Okay, you haven't learned this of a heter yet, have you?
I did.
Oh, you did? So you know the Ramah also there says we're not bucky in anything. We're not bucky what's fat. We're not bucky what's shahia. We're not bucky what's anything. I mean, some of these are another shchita. Some reason the Ramah had a masora that nowadays we're not bucky in anything, or a derech rather from his Rebbein, that nowadays we're not bucky in anything. What are you not bucky in anything? You know how long it takes to stick your hand under a pillow or not to stick your hand under a pillow. I assume what the Ramah meant here is that, no, like maybe our pillows are different than their pillows, maybe our cloths are different than their cloths, we're not exactly sure how they used to stick their hand under their pillows, our beds are built differently, maybe it takes longer, maybe it takes shorter, so it's a little funny, but it could be the Ramah was saying, no, the social reality might have changed, or it could be just that the Ramah thought that nowadays, keep in mind, the Ramah also thought we shouldn't taste things, right, in Siman Tzadi Ches. It could also be the Ramah just thought that nowadays we're not trusted to like make these calls because we're just not medayik anymore. Like, you wonder, is the Ramah, the Ramah says throughout your data, the Mechaber always says we do what it says in the Gemara, and Ramah says we're not Bekiyim anymore. Right? Much more so in Isra Heter than in Hilchos Nida. Isn't that the Ramah was just choshish for changing social reality, so like, we mean something different by fat than they did, and we it takes us longer or shorter to throw an animal on the ground than they did in terms of Hilchos Shechita Shehiya, and you know, maybe we have different words for describing taste than they do, and maybe our beds are different than they do, or probably more likely, the Ramah just thought nowadays people don't know how to be exacting and careful anymore, and they just estimate. In the old days, they were exact. Nowadays, people lost the mida of exactness. Maybe that's pshat.
I think Al asked something like this last year, but any aid for a woman just to wait till after her
mother?
Why would a woman check
earlier? Aha, so we'll get to that in a moment. All right, we'll get to it now. After all, if it's so quick, why would a woman ever do this? So the answer could be, I'll give you three answers. One answer is, I don't know, it so happens she notices. You know? It so happens that she wasn't dafka trying to check something. Maybe stam, she like just took her clothing and wiped herself without thinking, whatever. You know, you never know. Second answer is, if you hold like the Mechaber, like the Mechaber in the beginning of Pei Vav, then the first three times she's married, she has to check. So if the first three times, this could come up. Right?
Should she check out one of these specific times?
Yeah. No, the first three times, she has to check right away, like these times.
Okay.
Yeah, the first three times, sorry, I didn't mention that. The first three times she has to check as quickly as possible. She has to try to check miyad, not even acharzman. She has to check this. So then it could happen coincidentally, or it could happen the first three times, or even according to the Shach. What did the Shach say, based on his traveling the Rif, based on the Ravid? That, I mean, it's Upshot in the Rif. This is main Upshot based on the Ravid, that you don't have to do it the first three times. But if it happened once, then you have to do it from then on. And many of the posts can assume what that means, that if it happened once, 2 minutes later, which could easily happen randomly, then you have to check three times right away. So therefore, how could this happen? Either coincidence, or no, the woman had an obligation to check miyad, either the first three times according to the Mechaber, or if something suspicious happened once, then three times she has to check miyad according to the Shach. So the Maisa could happen.
But generally speaking, if someone's concerned, they probably should wait, right?
Yeah, for sure. They shouldn't look till the morning. If someone doesn't want bad news, unless they halachically have to. The problem is, let's get to that in a moment, the Shach said, based on the Ravid, that if they find once, then they halachically have to check the next three times. So this is a big machlokas. Do we hold like this Ravid or not? But certainly, if you hold like the Shach and you didn't check the first three times you were married, then you're holding like the Shach, like the Ravid. Then if once you find it 5 minutes later, how do you find it 5 minutes later? That could easily be something you notice. Then, from then on, you have to, check the next three times. So this certainly could come up. Okay, so let's see what this woman does. What does the Braisa? This part about the Miyad part is not in the Braisa in Daf Samech Vav. That's combining it with the Sugya in the first parak about Karbanos. In Daf Yudal. Now let's see the price. Mishameshes shalosh pa'amim. She sleeps with her husband three times. And if it doesn't happen three times, then she's okay. Because it's not a pattern. It's coincidence. After all, you never know what can happen coincidentally. Meaning, statistically, someone's bound to just randomly have their period in the middle of Tashmish at some point in history. Right? So it could be coincidence. Even twice could be coincidence. A little far off, but it could be. Three times is a pattern. How do we know twice is coincidence and three times is a pattern? Because of Shermoad, because that's we apply that rule in the whole Torah. Ritzufim, Ras Adam, adds the Rama. If three times in a row she sees Dam, let's fill this other Rama. Here's where this could really be a problem. What if he finds it three times in a row on his cloth when he wipes himself? And here's the big problem. The problem is that if she finds it checking herself, then it depends. Did she find it miyad or lacharzman or both problems? Right, the mice, luckily we don't differentiate between miyad and lacharzman since they both would be a vadeh or suffix or doraisa, yisnida. And acharzman is okay. But what if he finds it? Why? Because we say maybe she got her period after Tashmish. Could be. And through Chazak and Mekar, we'd assume that. What if he finds the blood when wiping his aver? He doesn't produce the blood. He can only get it from her. And he can only have gotten it from her during Tashmish. So if he finds it on his Aver, even an hour later, if he finds it on his Aver, then that's considered like Osyom. Because he knows it came during Tashmish, because his Aver was only in the right place during Tashmish. How could it have gotten to his Aver? It couldn't have gotten to his Aver after Tashmish. He doesn't have Dam Nida from his body. He doesn't menstruate. Right? So it only could have come from her, and he was only in the right place in her during Tashmish, and therefore, if he finds it on his Aver, even a long time later, that's the equivalent of Osyom, and that is a big problem. That's what Rama says. And there, that could also happen, like, even if no one's checking, right? Eventually, he'll check himself, and if he finds it on himself, that counts as Miyad. So that's a big Chumrah. And what's the din? Asur l'shamish im baal zeh elatiskar reishu tinos l'acher. She's not asleep with this husband anymore. Why? Because it's musuk three times. It's musuk three times that when she sleeps with her husband, she becomes a nida. She becomes a nida not after Tashmish, during Tashmish, because she found it on his aver, or she found it miyad or l'acher's man. So, if it's Mosak that during Tashva she becomes a Nida, then she's not less legal there anymore, because during Tashva she'll become a Nida, and then she'll be doing an Isser of Bias Nida. So she has to get divorced, but she can marry someone else. Okay, let's read it quickly, then we'll go through the details. Why can't she marry someone else? Because the Gemara says, Lo kol etzba'os shavos. Not all the Avers are the same. Maybe one Aver would cause this, and the other guy's Aver wouldn't. Nis l'acharos adamas nash gilm bar mitzufim. It happens 3 times in a row with the other guy also. Then she has to divorce the second Baal, but still she can marry a third guy, because maybe just these two guys ain't hers. That's not a precedent for everyone. Then the problem is now it's 3 Avers. 3 is a pattern. 3 in Halach we say is not coincidence. That means it's everyone's Aver. Now she can't marry anyone. She's not allowed to marry anyone. She's not going to, unless she does a special check that will be described in Sif Beis, which is the only way to save her. Let's just look at the Rama for a moment. The Yesh Omrim, She'ein Anu Bekiyin Eze Mikri Machmas Tashmish. Right? We're not Bekiyim anymore. Ki'ein Bekiyim B'Shir Nizkar. We're not Bukkies to this amount. Yes? Yes, it has to be 3 consecutive husbands. Let's say she marries husband 1 and husband 2 and has a problem. Husband 3, she's great, no problem at all. Then he dies or something, divorces her, right? And she marries husband 4 and it's a problem. Then she's okay. It has to be 3 husbands in a row. They don't discuss that case. But that would be, l'chora, that would be what we would say. Rama says classic Rama, we're not Bekiyim, because we're not Bekiyim in these lengths of time. L'chein kol shirosh olshvom somach l'tashmish mikri lididon machbas tashmish. As long as it's near Tashmish, that's called Ramachas Tashmish to us because we're not Bekiyim. V'nesra al Bala. And she becomes Asur, her husband. This is a big Kiddush. Out of this lack of Bekiyas, we make her get divorced. Okay, Shach and Sufah. What if it happened 3 husbands? Would we say we're not Bekiyim and now she can't marry anyone? Or no. It's enough to be, we wouldn't be Machmer to make her not marry anyone, only to make her not marry, to get divorced from one guy. All right, doesn't really come up nowadays. L'maisa, we are Machmer in any Samach le Tashmish. There are months, and even what we seem like Acher Acherzman, since we're not Bekiyim, maybe it's really Acherzman. That's what I'm not saying. Even if you think it's Acher Acherzman and it's no problem, but really maybe it's Acherzman. Maybe we're just not experts and you made a mistake and you have to be Machmir. That's a big chorus. You have to get to worse. Let's say a minute after Tashmish, she found once, twice, 3 times in a row. Damachag would say that's Acher Acher. What's the problem? Dharma would say nope. That's we're not Bekiyah, maybe you were off, maybe you weren't an expert, and she'd have to get divorced. That's a big chumrah. What does samach mean? There are samach gronim who want to say samach means like samach l'mincha within half hour of Tashmish. It's a little hard to imagine we're not Bekiyah in between the shear of Kadesh sticking your hand under a pillow and half an hour. So, most of the chumrah are saying, no, it means very, very soon after. Okay, it's not so clear very soon after. The problem is the whole point is we're not Bekiyah. You know, but it means like right after. I mean, like you didn't do anything else in between. You know, it was right afterwards. You know, I would say certainly no more than a minute. How much could be samach? It could be confusable. You know, we're talking about the difference probably between 2 seconds and 3 seconds, or 3 seconds and 4 seconds. So how much the Rama be nachmer? Certainly not more than a minute. But in any case, if a few seconds later she finds the dam, then even though the mechaber would have said, well, check. I don't know, time yourself. Get someone's doing a stopwatch, stick your hand under the pillow, take an aid, be bodig, see how long that takes. And if it was longer than that, it's okay. So let's say it was 8 seconds later. She says, no, I can stick my hand and check myself in 4 seconds. Then she's okay, according to the Machaber. But since we're Ashkenazim, we follow the Ramah, the Ramah would say, that is a problem. The Elu Shalshvam Shuchim Leosu Tzufim. It's only a problem if the 3 times happened in a row. If it's not in a row, it's no problem, because then it's not a pattern that's going to happen every time. It makes no difference whether it happened when she was first married or it happened later. Okay, there's there are those Rishonim who might suggest that maybe it's only a problem at the beginning of marriage. But if it happens in the middle of marriage, then we assume it's just coincidence because it didn't happen until now. We say no. If it happens when she was first married, she's a Ramach Mustashmish. If it happened 10 years later, then now she's a Ramach Mustashmish.
Do we discuss whether this is something which can be developed like a disease or it's something which is...
So apparently it's something can develop. That's what the Ramach just said. Even if she starts having this problem later in life, she's married 10 years and then starts having this problem, then it's a problem. It's something that could develop. It doesn't have to be congenital.
Assuming that means it should also be able to go away.
Correct. We have to see how it can go away, but correct. And this is only if it's near Tashmish, right? I mean, the Ramah's not a bucky if it's close to Tashmish. But if it's not close to Tashmish, let's say she finds blood in the morning, man, that doesn't make her any usser. I mean, she finds blood in the morning, then she'd have to count Shiva Nikiyam, right? She'd have to go to the mikveh, etc. But if she finds blood an hour later, if she finds blood in the morning, if she finds blood 20 minutes later, then, okay, she'd just be a regular nida. She'd have to go to the mikveh. And then after she goes to the mikveh, she returns to her husband. It's no chashash or machmas tashmish, just regular nida. And then, even if it happens all the time, this doesn't create a machmas tashmish, just a lack of regularity. Because, you know, an hour after Tashmish is not considered anything significant. The Pesach Tshuva here points out, in the name of the Chavos Das, something logical, she's still now living with Shamish twice in one night. Because Shitaka does have a Beses that after Tashmish, later in the night, she'll become a Nida. So therefore, once she does Tashmish, now she shouldn't be Mishamish again that night, because she has to worry she became a Nida. But it's not a problem for Machmas Tashmish. Okay, that is the basic seif, and then there are a lot of details. Yes?
If it's during the time of the month where we were saying that it's almost unlikely or impossible she will get her period, to make her at the end, we still say that.
Yes.
We're just worried that that's not
happening. We say, but maybe this changed it. Okay, I'll explain why a little more in a moment, and there's a Mordechai who might be against that, but that's how we pass it. Okay, let me just fill in a few details. Let's go back to the beginning. Okay, let's start with a very fundamental chakira. The first Pesach Tshuva already mentions this famous machlokas between the Nod Behuda and the Chavos Das. In what conceptual category do we put this whole simon? So, if I were to tell you, I know, you know, we haven't learned all the Chachos Nida yet. But I tell you, when something happens three times, you have to assume it's going to happen from now on, and that causes a problem with Chachos Nida. What word pops into your head?
Chazakah.
Or, more specifically?
Chazakah.
That's not specific. That's just Ashkenazi. In Chachos Nida, what word pops into your head?
Veses.
Veses, right? Sounds like a Veses. Says the Nod Behuda. This is just an example of the rules of Vestos. This is not a new halachic category. This is an example of Hilchos Vestos. Just like every other Vesses. And what Vesses would it be most like? Remember, we mentioned different types of Vesses. This would be like what they call Vesses Kfitza, or Vesses Maase. A Vesses that's caused by a certain action. When you do an action, it leads to bleeding. Okay, that's what Yudas says. This is the regular din of Vestos, and he's very convinced of that. The Chavos Das and other Achronim argue on him. The Chavos Das actually says it's Svei Din, and if you look, he has a long essay on this, back to Shulchan Aruch. But he says, no, this is not the regular din of Vestos. You might say, what are the other views? It's regular din of Vestos, so why does it get its own sugya? Because a regular Vestos is not so complicated, just like when you do certain things, be porish. This is a very, conceptually it's a regular Vestos, but practically it's a very problematic Vestos, because if Bia causes Dam, and you're not, if the Vesses is Bia, and Bia is also bringing the Vesses, then you have to get divorced. But conceptually, it's a regular Vesses. The Chavos Das, he picks up on, and some of the other Achronim, the Gemara that says over here, the Gemara says that it's a kol ha-memalov no Vesses, ein lo takana. Anyone who has this memalov no Vesses, fill and pour out. Doesn't have a way to fix it. We'll have to see exactly what that means. He says, no, it's not a regular Vesses, it's a unique disease. Yeah, I don't know how disease doesn't mean an infection. It means like, you know, something fundamentally wrong with the way the cycle works, not a regular Vesses. The Chavos Das. The truth is, the Chavos Das actually says it's both. It's like a chashash of both. And he makes a very complicated Svei Dinim, which I'm not going to mention now, because I'm going to try to just get to the basics here, especially since it's not so halacha maisa nowadays. I mean, somewhat. We'll get to it. What are some of the nafkaminas? What if you say that?
Wait, can you explain how he gets his din, though? It's a unique disease.
That Chazal have a whole sugya because they knew there was this special disease. Now, to know you have this disease, it has to happen three times because otherwise it might be coincidence, right? I mean, every disease might be coincidence. I don't know. Whatever symptom you have could be a disease, but it could be coincidence. I don't know. Guy's diarrhea once, coincidence, twice, coincidence, three times. You say you must have a bun, you know, or whatever the case is, you know, anything that hurts you. You know, so again, some doctor might say four times, two times, I don't care, halacha, we say three times. So he says, it's not the three times kopei efeses, three times the glaing milk, so that you have this disease. What's the nafkamina if it's a special disease? Or basically, he's asking, is this in the general category of vestos, or is this a new category in and of itself? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is really just going to be, do you apply the rules of vestos? Or do you not apply the rules of vestos? If it's in the category of vestos, you apply the rules of vestos. If it's a new category, then you don't apply any rules unless they appear in this exact sugya in the Gemara, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, because it's a new category. So do you say it's din vestos, or it's a, basically you say it's an independent sugya, and the way they express this is that it's a choli. No, it's not a veses, it is a choli. What is the nafkamina? So one of the nafkaminas discussed here is the no to behuda is sifkat na'aluf. Let's mention some of the nafkaminas. Says the no to behuda. If it's been in vestos, then we didn't really get to this yet. But we'll see in some of the test, there's a machlos we've shown in, and we paskin, that any veses that's like done by a maaseh, any vesis maase or vesis kvitza is like the post-Gemara jargon code word for vesis caused by an act, doesn't really count as kavua. It really counts more as eno kavua. So he says, if it counts as eno kavua, then we have a rule that vesis kavua uproots an eno kavua. So says the big Kiddush. Let's say a woman is Roa Machbos Tashmish.
Right?
I don't like to use that abbreviation for it. Roa Machbos Tashmish. And then she's Kovei Avesis. Then all of a sudden, three times in a row, she sees a Rosh Chodesh or in an interval of 32 days or whatever. Says the Kvi of the new Vesis uproots the old Vesis. And now she's not a Romach Tashin anymore. Now she's with Teres to her husband. Because a Vesis uproots a Vesis. And then even in a Suffolk, what if she always had a Vesis Kavua? Maybe even that would uproot the Vesis She'ino Kavua of Romach Tashmish. And that depends on Machlokas. Achronin, that the Pesachet Shuba says he's going to discuss later. So let's just see, one second, some of the nafkaminas. Pesachet Shuba, Sefkat and Aleph, says, what if Kava Veses Kavua, so says the Nod of Yehuda, if she makes a new Veses Kavua, then it uproots the Veses of Roma Kostashmish, and she's new Teres. Because the new Veses Kavua uproots the old one. Why is one Veses Kavua more powerful than another? Because any Veses Masa is less powerful than a regular Veses Kavua. It's a lower level Veses. He even says, maybe even if she always had a Veses Kavua, it doesn't, that's his Masukh. Kava Veses Kavua, O Ulai Af Im. Haisa no haya, right? Veses is masculine. And haya la veses kavua. It says maybe even she always had a veses kavua. That's enough because the veses kavua uproots the veses maase. Because a veses kavua of time uproots a veses maase. Okay, certainly if she had a veses maase and then she made a veses of days, maybe even if she had a veses days and then made a veses of maase, maybe the veses of days uproots the veses of maase. Okay.
Kavua,
for sure. Says in this Pesachet Shuvah Sukkot Na'aleph, then he quotes the, I think he quotes someone else here. Who else does he quote? One second. Ayin chavos da'asha cholik alav. It says, chalila lahakel. Chavos da'asha says, there is no such heter. What are you talking about? This is a special disease. That has nothing to do with vestos. Just because you have vestos every 34 days, what does that have to do with whether or not she has this disease? It's not a vestos, it's a disease. A vestos doesn't uproot a disease. Okay, that's one nafkamina that he brings here. Another nafkamina is, for example, The Pesach Tshuva discusses gotten hay in a few other places. How about
Pesach Tshuva Sukkot and hay? How about Roh Machmas Tashmish Shenis Avra?
What if she became pregnant? Says the Nun Behuda, once you become pregnant, you don't have Vestos anymore. We know when you're pregnant, you don't have to keep your Vestos. Right? So says the Nun Behuda.
Nun Behuda. Muteres kol yemei ibura meinikta.
She gets 33 months of heter, 9 months she's pregnant, 24 months she's called a meinekes. Remember, it has nothing to do with nursing, just recovery from childbirth. And therefore, she's muteris now because she's exempt from vestos, says the Chavos Das. He says, the Pesach Tshuva Lashon Afil Me'ibur Bahanaka. Chavos Das. Achim, she was Nodav Yehuda, says differently, says the Chavos Das.
She is still Asura.
He says the disease. Getting pregnant doesn't cure this disease. Nodav Yehuda says the vestos. Getting pregnant takes away vestos. Now, it'll come back after the time's up, but at least meanwhile, she's okay. So that's another nafkamina. Another nafkamina could be in the Pesach Tshuva of Katan Zion and Ches. You notice there were very long Pesach Tshuvas here. I'll just mention that. Give a little perspective reality. Modern day science, we don't really see a common found phenomenon of Roh Machmas Tashmish. Meaning, if you're going to say maybe she has like a scratch that's getting, irritated, etc., like what we call studim, okay, that we can see nowadays. If you're going to say maybe it's coincidence once or twice, she might get her period during Tashmish, anything coincidence. The idea that Tashmish causes her to bleed, causes Dam to come out of the Mokor, is not something that we really have nowadays in modern medicine. And therefore, Lemaisa, all these questions of get divorced and the second husband, third husband, etc., they're all theoretically important. Torah Hilanda, Anu Tzrichen. But Halacha Lemaisa, these things don't really come up. So what does happen? However, we can't ignore the Halacha of Roh Machmas Tashmish. So what happens nowadays is if a woman has some sort of Roh Machmas Tashmish, then she goes to the doctor, medical professional, etc., and figures out, what's going on, and then figures out, what's going on, what to do about it, how to identify it, etc. But you don't really have cases. I've never heard of anyone getting divorced because of Roh Machmas Tashmish nowadays. You don't really have cases where the doctor says, sorry, it's just a Roh Machmas Tashmish, I'm not sure what to do about it. Generally nowadays, either it's coincidence, or it's what we call studim. We'll get to, right? Just like, she has some like sensitive skin or cut or something on the outside of the mokor, that during Tashmish she just gets rubbed and bleeds. We don't really have Roh Machmas Tashmish now. That doesn't mean you can ignore this halach. You still have to go to the doctor and find proof for what it is. So we don't change any of the halachs in the Shulchan Aruch, but we never really get to the stage of getting divorced from the first husband or doing Bdikas Shofaris. We usually have better ways to diagnose and deal with things.
According to the second afternoon, if she continues to see blood during the pregnancy or during the nursing, then according to the Nodav Yehuda, then she would not be tame?
No, even according to the Nodav Yehuda, okay, that gets tricky, but we...
If she did not see blood, so, then according to the Chavos Das,
the problem is,
she would be makir the...
Okay, correct. So if she continued to see blood, even the Nodav Yehuda would have a problem. Because we do say that if you continue to see blood during Ibur Vahanaka, then it is Koveya. So that would be it. But Adi's saying, what's the right nafkamina? What we find in Sefkat and Zion and Ches. And here, one can make all kinds of subtle chilukim, but I'm not going to. Zion and Ches. And, there's subtly different things. The point is, what if she proves that it stopped during Ibur Vahanaka? How can you prove that it stopped during Ibur Vahanaka? Right, that was your nafkamina, right? Either two cases they discussed. Number one is, there's something called Yumei Tohar. What is Yumei Tohar? We'll get to it, but it says in the Chumash that from days 8 to 40 after having a boy, and from days 15 to 80 after having a girl, a woman's blood doesn't make her usher. She can bleed regular menstrual blood, whatever it may be, and it's not a problem. Okay, the minhag nowadays is a little different, but let's assume we can rely on Ikra Din, you know, in weird cases like this, or Chas and Chak like this. So, let's say she has a girl, she gets pregnant, has a girl, and then, between days 15 and 80, she's mishamish with her husband many times, which would be okay, because even blood wouldn't be a problem, and there's no blood. Does that uproot it? Or there's something called Bdika Shofaris. What if she does the Bdika, she sticks the diagnostic test, put the Shofaris inside, and checks and there's no blood while she's pregnant for nursing? Right? So there are mutter. Or, you might say, if he is a cynical fellow, what if the Isser? Or what if she misunderstood the Halacha? Better, right? Chas v'shalom, you don't want to accuse anyone. She misunderstood the Halacha, and she slept with her husband three times when she was pregnant, or even once when she was pregnancy, and it was clean. So what if she turned out to be clean during pregnancy? So here would go the other way around. Says the note of Yehuda, and this does say in all these various cases, she says she is still Asura as soon as the Hanukkah ends. Meaning, she doesn't matter herself. Why? Because just like that, because since Vestos don't apply when you're pregnant and nursing, you also can't uproot them when you're pregnant and nursing. This is what you meant, Dadi, right? You can't uproot them when you're pregnant or nursing. So even if she finds herself clean when she's pregnant or nursing, in whatever clever way she wants to do that, it doesn't help. She has to find herself clean when she's not pregnant or nursing to save herself. However, according to Chavos Das, so here it gets a little trickier. But if you look at the long, there are some long discussions here. Why are there such long discussions in the Piskei Tshuva, by the way? It's fascinating. Why are there such long Piskei Tshuvas here? Right, longer than some of the other simanim. So, I mean, you know, it could be coincidence, right? But it could be because here we're talking about a woman who has to get divorced, right? This is like serious stuff, like, you know, gerish, kashin, gerishin, right? So the poskim always like, we're more and more ma'ayin. If it's something else, you say, okay, you know what, there's room to ma'ayin, make a lot of chidusha, but let's just say it's usher and move on with our lives. Over here, they always, you know, whenever it's a makum igun or even a makum gerishin, so the poskim always try to work very hard to find kulas in the tehru. That's why there's such long Piskei Tshuvas, probably. Probably. Can't promise you. And some of them even say, if you read through them, they say, and this is a stretch, and I'm not sure, but today, lo lohotzi yishamival, etc. I think in Piskei Tshuvas, Gan Aleph, for example, he says that, still, she's a smach b'day, I couldn't find something shown her, but since she'd be a surah forever, then I have to find a heter, etc. So I think that's why there's such long discussions. But anyway, getting back to over here, the Sidrei Tara says, and the Kresi Uplesi say that this works. So here says the Sidrei Tara, and the Kresi Uplesi, no, she becomes Muteris. Okay, that works well for the Derech that it has nothing. But in the Vestos, then if she's cured, she's cured. I don't care if she's cured when she's pregnant, when she's nursing. If she's cured, she's cured. She doesn't have this disease anymore. And it has nothing to do with pregnancy and nursing, because it's not about Vestos. It's about a specific disease. The Chavos Das himself is actually machmir about this. I don't know if he's quoted here. Okay, but if you look at the Chavos Das, he's actually machmir on this. Why? Because he actually holds faith in him. And therefore, he's machmir both ways. So he doesn't, like everyone quotes him as the opposite of the Yehuda, but if you actually look inside, he's machmer both ways, so that's why he would only say, argue the Yehuda Lakula, not the Chumer, not Lakula. But anyway, you get the Nafkaminas here, this is fundamental Chakir in the Achronim again, Halacha L'maisa. Is this really going to be something that we're going to get in our lives, Shiloh's about? I don't think so. This is a fundamental Chakir about how to categorize this problem.
Yeah, two questions. Number one, is this another example of changing times, or maybe it was never Lamaisa? Or they couldn't check as well as we can?
Who knows? You know, there's no way to know these things, especially since, A, you know, when it does come to the whole Indian menstruation, it's a very, you know, if you told me, well, you know, once upon a time, you know, I don't know, people's, like, livers were connected to their hearts, and nowadays connected to something else, I would say, I don't know, it sounds like something for Nelson Slifkin, you know, like, it seems a little hard, like, I don't think the organs, like, rearrange themselves in the body since the time of Chazal. If you tell me certain other things, then, you know, that how people menstruate changed, then it is very environmentally sensitive. The environment does affect menstruation a lot. So I'm not a scientist enough to tell you, like, I feel comfortable here. You know, I do not at all feel comfortable here saying, like, oh, I'll be science, like, you know, how can it ever have been different than nowadays? I don't know, these some things are just really changed with your diet, with your, you know, I have no idea what could change, what can't change. Menstruation in general is sensitive to environment. Even nowadays, you could change a woman's period by changing her lifestyle. Right? Again, I don't know why everything is like reported forthhand. There aren't good statistical studies on this because no one really cares. Like in the scientific community, no one's going to like sell something based on a study, so there's no money for studies. It's not that interesting. But, you know, they say, you know, if you put girls together in a room, they'll start having their period the same day because somehow they'll smell each other or something. I don't know if it's true or not. For sure, like, if you don't have good nutrition, you'll stop having a period at all. Kayadua, they say you want to get your period earlier, you eat this kind of food, you get your period earlier, you eat this kind of food, your period is shorter, you eat this kind of food, your period is longer. You know, I'm not even talking about medical procedures and birth control, etc., which obviously go into your system. So who knows what happened in their days, what happened nowadays. All I know is that nowadays, a doctor will never tell you, oh, this is a Roma Achmas Tashmish. It might look like a, halakhically you might get into a problem of Roma Achmas Tashmish, and you'd have to get out of it somehow, which we'll get to a little later on, but I don't know what happened in the old days. You have to ask someone smarter than me.
And what's advice do we have nowadays?
It's a little tricky. It's not clear if we have any Vesed Maisa nowadays. There are all these rumors floating around that maybe someone heard there was such a thing. Again, it's not the kind of thing you have scientific papers about. Definitely we don't have nowadays that a person does. Again, I'm not talking a Maisa of like birth control pills or something medical. I'm talking a Maisa like jumping and moving, etc. We don't have nowadays the woman will mamish get her period just because jumping, etc. There are different rumors floating around whether a woman could see a tipas dam kachardol from the makor due to kfitz or not. Some people say yes, they heard many stories. Other people say no, they don't believe those stories. So I don't know, but definitely not strong evidence. Right? I don't think, I'm not a scientist, I at the very least don't think any Vesas Maisa has very strong 100% evidence in favor of it. Although one never knows.
Yeah, I heard this as a rumor, but I heard that airplanes
you never know. That's the thing, you never know with these things. You know, it's not like, it's not Newtonian physics, where you're like, okay, like, you can't change gravity. Like, I don't believe you if you tell me gravity, it doesn't work someplace.
You have a woman that every time she goes on a plane, and
that could happen. All these things are believable. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that we have hard evidence, and I know that we're going to, because it's not an interesting thing for, you know, people to discuss. You know, we'd like to think in universities that scientists discuss things that are very fundamental to their intellectual quest for the understanding the nature of the universe. This is not going to qualify. And in real life, scientists and universities research things because someone sponsors them because they could sell some sort of drug or procedure based on it. And also, like, no one's going to spend $10,000 on medicine to make them get or not get their period when they're on an airplane. Right? So Lamaisa, we're never going to know more than we know now, so let's just move on. So that was the fundamental hakira. Now let's get into some of the details. Let's go back to the beginning. There's some ambiguity in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Achronim even argue what the Shulchan Aruch meant. You know the ambiguity. But even if you didn't, you should be able to figure it out. Isha Shirasa Dam Machmas Tashmish, etc. Mishameshes Shalosh Pa'amim. What's ambiguous there? Isha Shirasa Dam Machmas Tashmish, Mishameshes Shalosh Pa'amim. What's ambiguous? Exactly. What does it mean to me? If she sees it once, then she's mishamesh shalosh pa'amim. That, the Torah Shlomo says, that's the pshat lashon l'machaber. It happens once, and then she tries three more times. Or no, it means if it happens, in general, you try three times in general. It doesn't mean after. You need to read it very specifically. If it happens, then try three times. Or no, if this kind of case comes up, the rule is to try three times. But it doesn't mean like 1 plus 3. So that's a big machlok. Is it 1 plus 3, or is it 1 plus 2 equals 3? Right? The Tshach and the Taz, I think, both say the same thing. What do they both say? They both say, what? They do? Okay. Says the Taz, Mishamesh Shalosh Pa'amim, first Taz, Perish Im Osa Tash Misharasa Kfar Dam Machmaso. Okay, here, I guess maybe the Lashon is unclear. I thought he was saying three times, including, what does Im mean? Im doesn't mean Bilvad. Three times, including the first one, meaning three total. And what does the Shach say? Says the Shach here, the second Shach, it's very clear. Gimel Vam Im Harishon, here you see, it's the same Lashon as Taz, and what does Im Harishon mean? The Hainu Og Shtei Pa'amim. Kain Kasav Aprisha, V'cheinu B'poskin, V'cheinu Muchach B'tor. Okay, whether or not that's Muchach B'tor is subject to debate. The Shach and the Taz are both very clear, and they quote the Prisha, right? The Prisha is on the bottom of the Torah, right? He wrote, I'm sure you noticed on the bottom of the Torah, there's a Prisha and a Drisha. They're both written by the same people, where Yeshua fought cats. I'm pretty sure, he wrote the first, like historically, the first Perush on Shulchan Aruch. Not on Yerideya, only on Choshen Mishpat. What was the first Perush ever written on Shulchan Aruch? Happened to be on Choshen Mishpat. Because like that was a really hard thing that like you have to be really careful about. The Sma. Right? You learn Choshen Mishpat, there was a Sma and the Shach, so he wrote the Sma. And he only wrote on one part of Shulchan Aruch, he wrote on all four parts of the Torah, the Prisha and the Drisha. And in the when the poskim quote Prisha often, they're not mechalik, whether they're quoting the Prisha or the Drisha sometimes. They just call it all the Prisha. But the Shach quotes the same thing from the Prisha. Okay, Shach and Taz and Prisha, and that's the mashmos of many Rishonim, say it means total three times. And when it says, a woman who sees Damach was Tashmish, is like an intro to the chapter. What's the rule of this chapter about woman who sees Damach was Tashmish? The rule is she tries three times. And if it happens three times, then she has to get divorced. However, the Ravid, the Dogmar Vav on the side of the Shach, pointed out that he thought earlier the Shach sounded more like the Ravid, so he wonders why the Shach doesn't say the Ravid. And on our page, the Torah Sashlomim, some cut of days, has a very long essay for the Torah Sashlomim and says, no way, you're all wrong, that's not what the Mechaber says. He says if it happened once, try another three times. And this is summarized in the Pesachei Tshuva base, right? He says the Shach and the Taz and the Prisha all say it's a total of three times. But in the Torah Sashlamim, he says, no, it's like the Ravid, who says four times. Then he gives you all of the other achronim. So let's see what happens. What does it mean, shalosh pe'amim? So one shot is the Prisha, the Shach, the Taz. They say three total. However, the Ravid really does say, it really is a Ravid, if you look it up. You didn't see this right, because he wasn't going to the Beis Yosef. For some reason, the Beis Yosef didn't get into it, which is why everyone can say he meant whatever they want. But the Torah Sashlama makes a big deal. It's quoting the Pesachei Tshuva, the Ravid, and the Torah Sashlama, and they both argue what the Mechaber meant. The Prisha and the Shach and the Taz say the Torah and the Mechaber meant what we said. Torah Sashlama says, the Mechaber meant what I said. It says, no, it means one plus three more. Meaning if it happened once, then you check the next three times. Remember, this is the right one that says you don't have to check three times when you're first married. Right? Like the Shach. You only have to check three times if it happens once. Okay, but why doesn't the first time count? Like, why shouldn't the first time count? We ever hear by Shir Moad? If he gores once, then you check the next three times. No, it's three total. In all of Chazakas, it's three total. We never heard that you need one plus three. So what's Pshat? The right that explains, because the first time was without Bedika. But they're not sure what he meant. What did the Ravid mean by the first time was without Bedika? That's what I would say. What's the Svara?
That
The svara is because the first time was without bedika. So that's why it doesn't count. Right? That was without bedika. What does he mean without bedika? Here the Achronim argue what the Ravid meant. Okay, it's hard. I don't know who's right, I don't know who's wrong, I just know it's a big enough folks in the Achronim what the Ravid meant. The Kresi Uplesi and the Chsam, okay, Kresi Uplesi and others, what did he mean? Right? So, the Kresi Uplesi and others say, you know what it meant? The first time was it without bedika afterwards. The first time, you didn't see it right away afterwards, because why would you have done a bedika, if you will ask us? First time you saw it, an hour afterwards, 5 minutes afterwards, 20 minutes afterwards. That's why it doesn't count, because it wasn't right afterwards. So it says, the Kresi Uplesi and others, because the Pan Rishon, and don't say the first time you checked afterwards because you were newly married. Ravid holds, you don't have to check if you're newly married. But Pan Rishon, lo budka miyad achar kach, o matza, you know, muflag, mitashmish. Far away after tashmish. I don't mean far away like a whole day later. You know, give me a break. You're always going to find blood eventually. I mean, later that night. And that's why it doesn't count. Because you didn't find the blood right away afterwards. The... What?
That's not
Achar Achar. You found it Achar Achar. Achar Achar doesn't count. Ah, it doesn't count to make you a Romach Vestashmish to count as Romach Vestashmish. It counts to bring a Lidus HaSafek that now you have to check and clarify. That's the Chiddush of the Ravid. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. This is the Pshat of the Chavistas and others, not the priestly place. In other words, what's the Chiddush here? Effie's saying it's a Chiddush. The Chiddush is, even though it doesn't count Muflag, Achar Achar, it doesn't count as anything, but it counts to make you now have to check right afterwards 3 times. Which is the right shot in the Gemara. You don't have to check when you're first married. When do you have to check? If you have a latest suffix, it counts to at least bring up the issue, and now you have to clarify.
It's not really vada'i, no.
What?
It's not really considered to be vada'i.
It's considered to be vada'i, no, based on the Chez Chazaka Demei Karav, Chez Kastarav. But nonetheless, it creates L'chor Midrabanan, an obligation to clarify. Okay, the Kresi Uplesi and others say differently. They say, what are the right to mean? He means the Pam Rishon Lo Budka Kodem Tashmish. The Oz Afilu Em Matza Dam Miyad Achar Tashmish Eino Nechshav Ulai Aysanida Kodem Tashmish. Right? What does he say? He says, no, the right means you didn't do the first time, you didn't do Bedika beforehand. So what if you didn't do it beforehand? You did it right afterwards. You noticed the blood right afterwards. The man found it on his afer. But she didn't do Bedika beforehand. So therefore, maybe she got her period at lunchtime today. Maybe she got her period at breakfast time today. Maybe she got her period yesterday and the blood was just hanging out waiting there. And therefore, that doesn't count as Ramach was Tashmish because it might have come earlier than Tashmish. Okay, if you see, these are, you know, these two pshatim in the Ravid, one of them is not a big kula, the other one is. Meaning, this Chavos Das pshat in the Ravid is not a Chiddush l'kula. Everyone would agree. Even if you don't think that's what the Mechaber meant, you would agree to the din if you find it an hour after Tashmish. Of course, it doesn't count as one of the 3 times. Everyone knows that. That's explicit. In which case, this is not a Chiddush. Everyone agrees that it doesn't count. They disagree with his pshat in the Mechaber, which is really a question of pshat in the Gemara. They don't think that's what Mechaber meant, but they agree it would be true if you found it an hour later. Of course, that doesn't count as one of the 3. Which is, you don't have to ask me, Pasnai, Bechavos Das, is Pshat of the Ravid or not. Of course we do.
it may or may not be what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, but it's true. Alfidin, this is a Chiddush Lekula. What's the Chiddush Lekula? That it doesn't count if she didn't check before Tashmish. That's a Chiddush. If she didn't check before Tashmish, not Ramach was Tashmish. Why is it a Chiddush? Because it's against the rules. We should say, even if she didn't check before Tashmish, through Chazak Meikar, we assume she didn't get her period before Tashmish, so it must have come during Tashmish. So this is the Chiddush, that if she didn't check beforehand, we don't think it came during Tashmish. Most Achronim disagree with this Chiddush. Rov Poskim disagree. Okay, if you want, you can look in the Bnei Shulchan. He quotes a whole list of people who disagree, and then he adds his own proofs to disagree. Most people disagree with this Chiddush. So we're not sure. Again, it's a machlokas that the Chaver meant. It's really machlokas what the Gemara meant in the Braisa. What did the Gemara mean? You mean it happened once, then three more? Or if it happens, three total? Okay, if you say three total, then that's, you don't need to add a svar. If you say it's one plus three, why doesn't the first one count? So either because you didn't check right afterwards, in which case it's a chiddush in what you think the case is, but it's not a chiddush in din. Obviously, it doesn't count if you didn't check right afterwards and you checked an hour later. Or if you don't check before and it doesn't count, that's a chiddush lekula, and most achronim disagree. Even the crazy place himself is not sure that we hold like the right even though he thinks this is shot the right. Okay. That is one other detail. Mention two other things, and then I think we've seen what we need to see in this Sif. I'm not going to chazer every discussion of all the poskim here. Although one thing they did point out is that if you just find a stain on your clothing, that's called ksamim. We'll see some kutsadi. That's not a problem. If you just find a stain on your clothing, you don't assume that's a problem. Only if you find it on you. Yes?
Doesn't a chaver say you had, though, for the first one? So how could you say that it wasn't right after? How does that?
Okay, so that is. Yeah, so maybe I was a little. Inaccurate. What you have to say is that he wasn't saying pshat in the mechaber, he was saying pshat in the raivet. You're right, he wasn't saying pshat in the mechaber. I mean, only this works as pshat in the mechaber. This works as pshat in the raivet, but not in the mechaber. So that's, you know, I sort of said maybe the mechaber means like the raivet and Dorot into two, but you're right, I skipped this. Maybe the mechaber means like the raivet, maybe not. If the mechaber means like the raivet, it's got to be this way. But within the raivet himself, you could go both ways. So thank you for that, Ha'ara. One other interesting thing is, if she, here we have a bit of machlokas. Let's say she gets divorced from the first husband. Why is she allowed to marry the second husband? Why is she allowed to marry the second husband? Yeah, here we have an interesting chumer. Why is she allowed to marry the second husband? So, again, it doesn't really come up Maisa. So I'll just mention briefly this, the discussion of the Pisken Tshuva in Sifkat and Vav, quoting the Nodav Yehuda. I would have thought, why is she allowed to marry the second husband? Because we assume the first husband's aver is an exception. Why call it Bo'os Shavos? It's Bo'os, by the way, is a euphemism, Lashon Nekia, for the aver attachment of the man. Because there's no reason to assume any other man would make her bleed, because only one husband made her bleed. He must be the exception. Nodav Yehuda says, no. We can't just assume the first husband is the exception. It's really because of a sfeik sfeika. What's a sfeik sfeika? Maybe it's just a cut in the tzadim. The tzadim means in the beis achiton, in the vaginal canal, not in the mucker at all. She has a cut, and then the tashmish rubs against it and makes it bleed. Maybe it's from the tzadim, maybe it's really damnida. And if it's not Nida, maybe it would happen with the second husband, maybe not. So the Yehuda says it's a sofek whether it would happen with the second husband. And we're only Mako because of Sfeik Sfeika. And what's enough Nida therefore? If she bleeds a ton, a scratch in the stomach can't bleed a ton. It can bleed a little, right? If it comes out an ounce of blood, that can't come from a scratch in the stomach. Then she's also the second husband. Because now there isn't a Sfeik Sfeika anymore.
Why do you need a Sfeik Sfeika? If the first smart is adequate.
because he thinks that in Kolitz Bo Shavos is only a suffix. It's a suffix whether the second etzba would be the same as the first.
Yeah, we're not even sure if that svara is correct.
No, we're sure that Kolitz Bo's are not shavos, but...
I'm not sure that matters.
Well, here, let me put this on the board. Right? Ein kol ha'etzba'os shavos. Okay, all etzba'os are not shavos. And therefore, what do we think about the second one? So one way to say, and therefore, we assume second husband's etzba won't cause down.
Okay.
Right? Because it's not the same as the first husband's.
No, you didn't even say
that's
it.
One way.
You said the chazaka, the first one doesn't apply to the second one.
Right. But what does the Rabbi Yehuda say? Says they're not all shavos, but it's still a suffix. They're not all equal. If I... Okay, very simple. Oh, 1 second. This is the question. You know, I okay. Got it. You buy one, router from some company you never heard of on, on eBay, and it doesn't work. So what do I say? Not all the routers are the same. Try again. Now, I can mean two things. I mean, no, I assume they all work. The fact that one didn't work is coincidence. A chazaka that the next one will work. Or I can mean, no, there's already a strong lead as a suffix in this company. No, what I mean is you're not sure the next one won't work. Maybe the next one will, maybe it wouldn't. Meaning, okay, that did not clarify anything. Lemaisa, okay, Lemaisa, it's better to use a muscle of people, but then either you got to use muscle of people that are like not clean about this, or use muscle of people about other walks of life, which end up stereotyping people, so I don't know. You know, so who's gonna steal from you, who isn't, but then, you're in trouble. But that's the question. Do we say they're not all equal? So chazaka, everyone's etzba is okay until proven otherwise. The second etzba is okay. Or no, they're not all equal. So we know some etzbos are bad first, some are good. So the second one might be bad, might be good. He's 50-50 suffix. We know some etzbos make her bleed.
But you don't have a chazaka.
What?
We
don't have a chazaka that every etzba makes her bleed. But maybe we have a suffix. We have a chazaka that some etzbos make her bleed. So some do and some don't. So that's as good as she says it is a suffix. And therefore, what's an afkamina? She's only allowed to remarry because of steka of studim. Nafkamina being, if you know it's not studim, she's not allowed to remarry. Okay. Fair enough. Lemaisa, again, I'm not saying we're necessarily going to get to that halacha lemaisa. I'll point out one other thing, which, taka, this could be a halacha lemaisa. A big chumra. Again, you'll tell me either it's this pattern, the Chavos Das always wants to be machmer on us, or the pattern that I always want to lie and be makel against him. Definitely not the latter. Pesach Chuvin Gimel brings a big chumra from the Chavos Das. Three times in a row is a problem. What does it mean, three times in a row, says the Chavos Das? He says, well, we all know what three times in a row means. One bia, the next bia, and the next bia. What if you had a tashmish that was clean in between? She had romachas tashmish once, twice, and then she had a clean tashmish. And then a third time, no problem, she didn't have three in a row, right? What about the following case? What if she had romachas tashmish, and then she didn't check, but she didn't notice anything? And then the fourth time, Romach was Tashmish. So what about the following case? Right? One, she saw Mach was Tashmish. Two, she saw Mach was Tashmish. Three, she didn't check, and she didn't see. Four, Romach was Tashmish. Says the Chavos Das, put in the third Pesach Tshuva, Big Chumra, she's now has to get divorced. It's three in a row, because if she didn't check in between, that doesn't count to make her usher, but it can count to make her mutter. It's neutral. It doesn't count for anything. So it's three in a row, because the third one doesn't count. She didn't check. That's a big chumra. Why is that a big chumra? Because what if some lady comes and says, you should know, like once 5 years ago, I happened to notice on my husband's Aver blood after Tashmish. And then once, 3 years ago, on my husband Aver, there was blood after Tashmish, right? That counts as Miyad. And then yesterday, last night, on my husband Aver, there was blood after Tashmish. We'll say, did you check yourself after Tashmish in between? She says, no, I didn't make any big deal of it. What Chavzas would say, she never has to get divorced wrong. After Tashmish, and it's three in a row. Because if she didn't check in between, then maybe she saw blood and didn't notice, and it can't count as an Akira. Says, if you don't check, it can't be an Akira. That's a general sheet, though. If you don't check, it's not an Akira. That could be a big chumra. I mean, on the one hand, it can sound logical, but on the other hand, it ends up herself. Then everyone would be a Rav Achaz Tashmish nowadays.
What the Sikh Sikha about Piskei Chuva, the new view, said is that one is not all that supposed to show us, and then the other is that maybe it's from this other?
Right. Right, so maybe it's not from the Makor at all, and even if it is, maybe this guy's Espo won't make it come. Okay, Lemaisa, all the Echronim disagree with him. All the Echronim say no. If she didn't see any blood, then she would have noticed if there was blood. If she didn't see any blood, that's an Akira. And therefore, even if in between the three times she didn't check, she just didn't notice anything, that counts as an Akira, and she's not a Rav Achaz Tashmish. All the Echronim disagree with the Chavos Das and Pesach Joseph Gotten Gimel. Okay. What else did I want to? Yeah. Okay, so much for Sif Aleph. Let's try to tackle Sif Beth then. Ketza Bodekis. What happens if she, whoever's the photographer, can you get a chance, please? What happens?
I don't trust the app. I can do it.
What happens if she had her 9 bias through the first husband, through the second husband, through the third husband, and now she is an aguna? She can't marry anyone for the rest of her life. So is there any way out? Yes, to do the bedikah.
Is it prohibited to marry a woman to not have bias with them?
That's a great question. We normally assume that it is prohibited to marry a woman, meaning, is it prohibited to marry a woman and to not engage in bia with her? No, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert in these things, but sometimes a guy's 9-year-old, and judging by the, you know, advertisements for the medicine, sometimes the guy's too old for tashmish, and he's allowed to marry a woman, and they don't engage in tashmish, that's perfectly mutter. Obviously, only if she knows in advance, otherwise he's not fulfilling this to say, oh no, but if she's mocheles, if the one's mocheles, then it's she's not interested. She says, I really am not interested, but leiv shalem, I don't need any tashmish, I'm mochel the chiyuv ona. Then it's mutter to marry a woman and not to sleep with her. That's mutter. Not only mutter, but has many advantages over being single. However, that wasn't your question. Your question is it mutter to marry a woman who you're not allowed to sleep with, who it's usher to engage in tashmish with? And that, the answer is very, very clearly, it's usher. Okay, the whole machlokas, the mishnayos already, what if you have like 8 safeguards in place, etc. Lemaisa, we assume that will be very clear. That is in the end, maybe it's even the very end of our siman. I know our siman is very long. But it might be the last line in our siman. Yes, the very last line, well, okay, it's a little complicated there. We'll get to it. It's dealt with at least there. Lemaisa, we assume it is usher to marry someone who you're not allowed to engage in tashmish with for the obvious reason that you will be in a situation where you might be nifshal. So, yes, so she can't get married to anyone. You know, okay, so you can add that. You'll have all these funny questions. What if she marries a guy who the doctors examined and he's not capable of tashmish? I don't have to deal with it.
What about to stay married? Like in the case of
What about to stay married is a great question. Lemaisa, we'll see at the end of Eros Simen. That is a big machlokas. What about even to stay married to someone who is asur to you? Is very, very far from pashut. The pashut shot is that it is asur. And it's certainly asur to be misyachid. So staying married could get awkward. The question is, what if you want to be married without yichud? Okay, so we'll see that. Now, let's go back to this. Okay, what does she do? She has one chance. This bedikas shvoferes. Ketza bodekas. How does she do it? And this is the Gemara. No tell shvoferes shel avar. Right, this is just a good scientific experiment. She takes a lead hollow pipe. Right? I think the coronum say it doesn't have to be lead. It could be any metal. It just can't be wood because wood scratches and then there's blood and then it ruins the whole thing. So I guess it could be, yeah, anything smooth, right? Ufia rotzel latocha, and the edge is like curved in, so there's no sharp edge, right? You take a tube with no sharp edge. Vinosenes besocha machol over rosho moch, and inside it you put a stick with a cloth on top that you can like take in and out of this pipe. And she puts it in the same place where the Eivor HaTashmish goes. And what does she do? So she sticks it in where the Eivor HaTashmish goes. And the Shulchan Aruch's discussion is not 100% clear. The Achronim make it clearer. First of all, we trust her to know how far she's supposed to stick it in. Then we also can say, and what she does, she sticks in the hollow pipe, and then she takes this cloth on a stick and sticks it in the middle. What's the point of that? Nim Saddam al Rosho, Biyadushimina Makar, the Asura. If what this does is, on the simplest level at least, it differentiates between the damas from the tzadim or from the makar. Normally, how can you tell if the damas from the tzadim or from the makar, right? If you just stam do bedika, take the cloth on your finger, you put it inside, you check. You're not going to be able to tell where that dam came from, because it all gets mishmashed, right? Let's say it's on the top. It could have come from the tzadim, or it could have come when you got to the top. However, in this case, you first stick a tube that covers all the tzadim. So if there's dam from the tzadim, it would be on the tube, and not on the cloth inside. And then you stick a cloth only up to the opening of the makor. And there's down for the makor, it would be on the cloth and not on the tube. And that way, it's a good diagnostic test. Nimtza dam rosh. If you find dam on the cloth on top, you know it's not from the tzadim, you know it's from the makor, and you know this one is romach v'tashvish. And she's just in trouble. That's it. Nothing you can do about it. V'yim lav. And if not, v'yil du'ushim in that tzadim u'teres, then you know that the dam is from the tzadim, and she is okay. And the Ramah just adds, this is a bit of my focus, but here the Ramah says, even though the Ramah is Ashkenazic, still he says, even we can rely on this bedika. So here we just have a fundamental problem as to how to understand how this bedika works. Because there are really three possibilities as to what the result of this bedika could be. Right? I know the Shulchan Aruch says two possibilities. There's really three possibilities what the result of the bedika could be. I'll just put this on the board in a moment. Two possibilities are pretty straightforward, and one is challenging and is a big discussion in the in the posting. So, bedika shoferes. One could be nimsa dam al hamoch, right? Al rosho, right? What's the lashon here? Nimsa dam al rosho. Okay, meaning on the moch at the end, right? Then that's easy. Yadua shadam min hamokor, and she is asura. No problem. Yes.
Let's say you find blood on the side. Do you still assume that it's just like dripped down from the makor?
No. It's a good question because, like this, like it could. Well, we'll get that in a second. But let's think about Romach was Tashmish. Let me get that in a second. Okay. What about Nimsadam al Hatzvadim? Right on the side of the Kanet, right? Stodei HaKaneh. Then, Yadua, Shehadam, Min HaTzadim. And this woman is Muteres to stay with her husband. Yeah? I know I didn't read something that was written in the Shulchan Aruch now. But I said something logical, didn't I? If you find Dam on the side, you don't find Dam on the tip. You find only on the side of the tube. Obviously, we see the Dam comes from the Tzadim. She has a cut in the Tzadim that gets gets abrased, whatever the word is, and bleeds.
Just in case of the first case, isn't when you pull out the
tube, the moch? No, you first pull out the stick with the moch before you pull out the tube.
And you
put in the tube, then you stick in the moch, only touch the opening of the moch, or take out the moch, and only afterwards pull out the tube.
The moch is still on the other side.
Right, I mean, the moch is not in there when you're going in and out, because then it would touch the tzadim. You put in the tube, isolate, like make sterile environment, isolate it from the tzadim, stick the moch, and take it out. I know the Shulchanarach doesn't describe in exactly the right order, but it's pashut, that's what he means. And that way, the moch never touches the tzadim.
And the second one, you didn't find any blood on the actual moch.
Right. Now, what about in this case? Now here, there's a big discussion, however, in the, in the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkatan, Tes Zayin. Pischei Tshuva, Sifkatan, Tes Zayin has a big discussion. Yes?
This is done only after the third husband, or should you do this after the first one?
We don't know that yet till Sif Gimel. The Gemara says only after the third. Is that Davka or is that just an example? We don't know yet. Okay. I mean, you could look in Sif Gimel and see the answer. The Gemara doesn't say Mefurish either way. Okay, you could see a Wipas. Wipas can she do it after the first if she wants. Okay, now, here, Mickey asked, hold on a second, but maybe it really was done from the Mokor. It just dripped to the sides, and then you found it on the sides. After all, down for the mucker eventually drips to the sides. So why aren't we worried about that? So that is the suffix of the Nod Bihuda in Pischei Tshuva Sifkatan Tes Zayin. I think he says the Nod Bihuda was Mesopik. The Nod Bihuda was Mesopik. What's the issue? Says... Right, Mickey, that was your question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, here's an interesting question about this case, right? Are we choshesh that dam min hamakor dripped to the tzadim right before the bedika? Right? After all, maybe it's dominant marker that drifted the stutter right before the bedika. So, says the Mahari Harvitz, quoted here, I'm sorry, I'm not sure who the Mahari Harvitz is, you just quoted the Nevi Yehuda, and you and I are not quoted the Nevi Yehuda, so that definitely means something. He says no. No, it could be, but it's too unlikely. Why? We know there's some Machmas Tashmish thing going on here. So what are the odds? The odds are that it just happened to drip down right before you did the Bedika, or the odds are that this is why she always sees Machmas Tashmish. She has a cut in the Tzadim. Obviously, it's much more likely she has a cut in the Tzadim, because that would explain what happened the last 9 times. Not that coincidentally it happened to drip down. Right? Why are we not Choshish? Why? Because it's mistamer sheyesh la maka bitzadim shaharei rasa machmas tashmish hama pa'amin. Right? Okay. The position doesn't quote as logic. That means it's mistamer. It's not coincidence that it dripped down before you did the bedika. Nah, mistamer. It says she has a cut in the tzadim because that would explain what happened with the husband. However, the Chavos Das, Dr. Lakodesh Ruhlmacher, he says yes. He says, how do you know? Maybe it's just blood that coincidentally dripped down. And therefore, he says, do I therefore deny the efficacy of this bedika? He says no. And therefore what? Therefore, she is Nida, but not Roa Machmas, not Asura, Midin Roa Machmas Hash. What is the Chavzah? She's a Nida. She needs Count Shimon to come and go to the mikvah. Because maybe this blood was from the Mokor and dripped down beforehand. But, Mickey, if it dripped down beforehand, then it didn't come Machmas Tashmish. Because it was before the Tashmish. So, Miman of Shach, she's not a Roa Machmas Tashmish. Why? If it dripped down beforehand, it was before, not during. And if it was during, it was from the Tzadim. And therefore, the Iman of Shel, she's allowed to stay with her husband. The Nafkamina, Mari Horvitz, says she can stay with her husband and not go to the mikvah. Because proven she is a Kadim that's done. And a Kadim that's done is not done either. And the chayav says, no, maybe it is dam nida. She can stay with her husband, but she has to count shiva nekiyim and go to mikvah first, because maybe coincidentally this was just period blood. And the Noda Yehuda himself is misofek. Okay. Lemaisa, we don't have to paskin this way. We don't have to paskin this one. No one does bdika shofaris nowadays. Instead, we go to the doctors and they do examinations, and their examinations can be a little more exacting than bdika shofaris. Okay, after we're smarter in logic than Chazal, who invented this idea, but we just have better technology and tools to do better bdikas. So, lemaisa, it's an interesting question. You know, maybe someday someone will have some shiloh which they'll say is parallel to this and they want to know the answer, but in time we're not going to paskin it. But this is not the tricky part. Right? Let's assume, for the sake of argument, let's just stick with Mari Marvitz, right? If you find that stud in Mestama that shows that every time in Tashmish it was a cut in that studded, and if you find on the top and not top that shows every time it really caused Dam to come out of the Makor. So what is the tricky part? What if lo nimtza alav dam klal? Be medayik from the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. What happens if you don't find any blood on it? Not on the top, not on the tzadim. It comes out clean. Be medayik from the Shulchan Aruch what the din is. Can you be medayik from the Shulchan Aruch what the din is? And by the way, you don't have a Gemara in front of you, but the same exact diuk works in the Gemara. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch is reproducing the Lashon of the Gemara faithfully here, and it's really, your diuk in the Shulchan Aruch is really a diuk in the Gemara. Be medayik. What if she doesn't find blood at all? What's the din? Muteris or Asura?
Asura.
You're saying that based on the diuk in the Shulchan Aruch or based on your logic? Let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Ready? Nimtza dam al rosho, if you find only on the tip, on the moch, biyadushim and amok rasur, she's asur. Vim lav, and if you don't find blood on the top, biyadushim and asur, muteris, she's muteris. Does it say, and if you find blood on the side, she's muteris? What does it say? Im lav, if you don't find blood on the top, she's muteris. What does that mean? Whether you find on the side, or whether you don't find at all, as long as you don't find on the top, she is muteris. Muteris. This is the diok of the Lashon of the Gemara equals Shulchan Aruch, and obviously a few stages in between. Right? If you have Rishon. Right? The diok is she's muteris. Now the question is just why she's muteris. Why is she muteris if you don't find blood at all?
Are we sure it's a good enough simulation?
We sure, meaning if you had asked me without any Gemaras, I would be sure. But
it doesn't seem like, it seems like it's good enough to determine if the blood is coming from the walls or from the womb. But isn't that simulating Tashmish right now? It's doing a petite.
I am with you. I'm with you. I don't want to be an epicurus like you. But if I didn't have any evidence, I would have said the same thing as you. But the Gemara is meduyik that she's muteris. So we have to explain why. And the Shulchan Aruch is meduyik she's muteris. And everyone says she is... everyone says she's muteris. Look at the Shach Yud Aleph. Mashma, dim lo nimtza ala moch, bein she nimtza b'tzad eish mufaris, bein she lo nimtza alav klal, muteris. Whether there's blood on the sides or there's no blood at all, she is muteris. Right? That's the Shach's diok, and it's not just the Shach's diok. It is everyone's diok. The Dogma of Rav is one discussion, and maybe that only applies in some circumstances, etc. But he doesn't deny the basic diok. I'm sure we can find other people on the page who also make the same diok. The Torah Shalom Tess, Beinim Nitzah Dam Tzadish Mufaris Oshalom Nitzah Shom Dam Afilu Hachim Muteres. Okay, says the same thing. And says the Pesach Tshuva, Umashma the Gam and the Tesvav and Lonitz a Klal, da Muteris. Okay, so yeah.
It would be pretty risky, but theoretically, if they had Tashmish before time and she had, they'd be fine.
Yes, but they're not allowed to do that, so we're not going to write that in the Shulchan Aruch.
But they're not allowed to have
Meaning it's not an issue of...
They're not allowed to do Mishamish the fourth time because she's now a Sura. She has to get divorced. What? Bedika, right. Now, what you were suggesting is what I had on the board before, the suggestion of the Chavos Das. If she happens to be pregnant, she can wait till she's in the days 15 to 80 or 8 to 40, and then she can do Tashmish, because then blood is not a problem, and then she could try it. But, okay, normally, yeah, you're right, but we can't recommend that in the Shulchan Aruch, because she's not allowed to.
After the third time, it's an Isser to have Bia.
Exactly. It's an Isser to have Bia. Why? Because the Chazaka, that she'll bleed in the middle of Bia, and then she's like bemazed doing an Isser of Bias Nida.
So it's pretty big finish that you didn't allow her to do this
Bedika. Correct, but... The Gemara trusted this Bedika because that was their Masorah.
Back on Ellie's point, we said that likely the Damat Masashmash might be hormonal.
Right, so here I'm going to say that.
Must not be. It has to be a good simulation.
Basically, I think I'm going to get stuck at this point. I'm going to get stuck at this point, and I'm going to say that I have to retract what I said beforehand, probably. I said maybe it has something to do with the hormones of Bia. Obviously, if you're talking about the hormones of Bia, it's very different, Bia, and doing this, you know, medical Bedika. You know, it's a very different emotional effect. In which case, I guess I'm going to have to... I might have to take back what I said, because then this Bedika shouldn't help. Meaning, it should help you find it at Stada. That proves there's a cut, but it shouldn't help if you don't find it at all. Yet, all the post movie, it does help if you don't find it at all. So I'm going to have to, even though what I said made sense to me at the time, that I fooled all you and led us all down a maze into a dead end. But we're going to retrace my steps through the maze and try a different derech. I'm going to say it's not that we think it's the hormones of Bia, that, you know, the emotional experience of Bia that causes the blood. It's just the physical penetration that causes it. And the physical penetration is the same.
But we've been saying that every man is a different...
That makes sense. It has to do with the physical penetration, not with the emotional experience. Correct. Okay, so you're right. So, absolutely. It's the physical penetration that could somehow cause this, not the emotional state, because then that explains how all its both are different. It doesn't say all relationships are different. It says all its both are different.
What is this bedika? Is this bedika taking place whenever she wants, or
that's a machlokas rishonim, which we're not going to know the answer till Siv Gimel.
Because if it's right afterwards, then you don't have to retract your point because the whole
it's not right afterwards. It's not right afterwards.
I'm saying even if it's the next day, because you just have to determine it's not from the sudden. What I'm saying is like this: if you can check where the blood is coming from, even if it,
I don't think it's going to work.
Okay,
so here we have a fundamental machlokas, like just what's shot in this bedika. So the Shach quotes here, and Sivkat and Yud Aleph, he quotes from the Hagos Maimonios in the name of the Ritzba. It was also in the Darkei Moshe, I believe. The afilu bud ka atzal yedish for first will motzad am klal mu teres l'sham shakarka dilma nisrapa. Sorry, the diach nashav first we gilu yosko. Okay, dilma nisrapa. So why? Says the hagos my moneyos. The shame ritzba, which is then quoted in the Darkei Moshe, and the shach nisrapa. It proves that she's cured. It doesn't prove it was from the tzadim. It proves that she's cured. It's not 100% meduik in Lashon Shulchan Aruch, but it proves that she's cured because it says menat tzadim. What it really means is maybe menat tzadim, maybe a different reason with Tara. She's cured. After all, if she still had the problem, then this would have caused blood to come out. Okay, that's assuming it's not an emotional thing. It is a very physical, you know, a purely physical thing. The Chavos Das says a little different. And then what we're saying is it's not meduyak in the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the Gemara. Again, you'll take my word for it, that the Shulchan Aruch is reproducing the lashon of the Gemara here. Samach Vav Amud Aleph, 66a. It doesn't mean that it's min hatzadim. Means this rapa, right? But there's another option. Says the Chavos Das al pi diok haloshon. What's the loshon say? The lashon is biyadua shuminat tzadim. It doesn't say she's muteris. It says it's min hatzadim. If she doesn't find any dam, how does this prove that it is min hatzadim? So now he says a chiddush. He says, what's the svara? He says it's a proof of min hatzadim. How is it a proof of min hatzadim? You didn't find blood on the tzadim. So he says a pasha thing. He says, no, the kane doesn't irritate the tzadim like Bia does. Only it causes the effect on the mucker that Bia does. He says, this is not meant to replicate Bia. This is meant to replicate part of Bia. Why? What's the svara? I'll put it on the board. Svara is that this bidika is equivalent to tashmish in the power to cause bleeding min ha-mokor, but not in the power to irritate the tzadim. This is not an exact replica of Bia. It only replicates the power of Bia to make blood come out of the mokor. It doesn't replicate the power of Bia to irritate the tzadim. And therefore, what if it comes clean? What do we see? We say, look, if it was from the mokor, it would have come on this also. If it was from the tzadim, it wasn't so rough on the tzadim like Bia, and that's why it didn't come. Therefore, it's a proof that it's min hatzadim. That's the svara of the Chavos Das. And that's meduyik in the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara.
So the Shas approach, but can we say the whole reason why she can marry someone else is that all her clothes aren't shavin? So it's like, this is certainly not shavin.
So don't we say ein kol atzbaot shavos? Good question.
That doesn't mean anything.
Right? Everyone asks this question, including the Taz here in Sifkat Nevav. Right? He was really just quoting the Beis Yosef. There's a few answers to this. After all, you say, how is it Nisrapa? Maybe just ankle it's both shovels. In this sense, but it's not the same. So I'll tell you three answers, Baal Peh. One is the Taz that Beis Yosef says, here's a Chiddush, we only say ankle it's both shovels l'kula, not l'chomra. Why do we only say ankle it's both shovels l'kula, not l'chomra? Because there's a rove. I think his lashon is rove. Oh, he doesn't bring any lashon at all here. But the Beis Yosef has a lashon. I just forget if his lashon is rove or chazaka. I'm pretty sure it was rove. If you're not so makbid on me, let's assume it was rove because I'm not gonna. Here it is. Yeah, rove. Here it is. In the Beis Yosef letters, it's like right at the end of Beis. It says, rove women are not rove machas tashmish. It says, it's rove women are not rove machas tashmish. That's no to the kula, and you don't say in kol bo shavos to be machmir. So, okay, now let's... Why don't we say in kol it's bo shavos? So, I'll give two answers, because one of them is more complicated. It says, the Beis Yosef and the Taz. Omer and Kaf Rak Lakula Velo Lachomra Nishon Sherov Noshin Einan Ros Makos Tashmish. Okay, that's like a big pill to swallow. The Dugomir Vava suggests something else. What does he suggest? He says, no, you only say ain't called both shovels after one husband or two husbands. Once she's already messed up with three husbands, that proves that call it's both shovels from now on. And he says, and that's why, that might be why, there's a shita that you can only do the bedika after three husbands. Because then call it's both shovels. So says the Dugal Mervava, he says, achar gimel be'olim mukach they call ha'etzba'os shavos la. Okay. He actually then comes up with, you want to hear his lumdus that he comes up with, the lumdus of the Mervava? He says, you know what? If you do the bedika and it comes with blood on the side, that's matter even after one husband, because it proves this from the side. But if you do the bedika and you don't find blood at all, that's only matter after three husbands, because then that proves the kol is both shavos. Okay, those are two answers. The Bach makes it much more complicated. He says that it's all that's both are shavos for dam and mokar. They're only not shavos for dam and not studim. And then that gets into a lot of lumdus, which we will leave for now.
Why do I need to do three bedikas?
Interesting question. I would say like this, because mima b'shach, go back to our chakira before. If it's a choli, then you need to prove. It's like this. Say one way is because you need three times to make her usher, because she could have bled by coincidence even if she wasn't sick. But if she is sick, she couldn't not bleed by coincidence. Then she bleeds every time. This choli makes her bleed every time. So therefore, if she doesn't bleed, she doesn't have the choli. That's if you go by the choli way. If you go by the vestos way, you could say, a vestos mice is uprooted once, which is how we pass in the kofei test.
But the vestos holy thing, that you're assuming that must be true? Or like that's known?
No, I'm assuming based on what it says in the Gemara. I'm reverse engineering.
The vestos equals the Rambam. It sounded like it was much that even if the Bedika comes out clean, you still have to get divorced. And therefore, Kolet plus Shabbos fits. Meaning, this husband still has her, just because you know, wasn't a good fit. But the Bedika proves that not every single year is going to disqualify this woman, and therefore, future husband will be okay.
Correct. Yeah, now I understand what you're saying. Now, this is not clear in the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam's Lashon is not clear, but this is, I think, what he quotes in the Magid Mishnah, that Nirevei Rambam. Correct, the Rambam's the Magid Mishnah. Good. Good point. The Rambam's not clear, but Adi's right. This is a very simple one. Says the Magid Mishnah, Bidas HaRambam, he interprets the Rambam to mean this way. It's not before it's in the Rambam. Magid says, Niradas, Nira Milashon HaRambam. He says, what does it seem from the Rambam? It seems from the Rambam that we do say, Ein Kol HaEtzbaos Shavos, and she is only muteres to a new fourth husband. Right? That's what you're saying, Avi, right? Right? That's the Magid Mishnah's diyuk in the Rambam. It's not all Achron will argue what the Rambam says, but that's a good point. The Rambam says, Tak, we do say in Kolos Bos Shavos. This doesn't prove that she's actually for sure better, because maybe it's just him in the first three. But at least she should move to the fourth husband, because, you know, if she's okay with this test, she might be okay with the fourth husband. Okay, good point.
So according to this Bedika is the matir to allow her to remarry?
According to the Rambam. I mean, everyone's right. The question is the matir to let her stay married or remarry. The Magid Mishnah says only to remarry, not to stay
right.
Married.
I thought the Rambam would say that you shouldn't do the Bedika until the third husband. You shouldn't even do it for the first husband. If you happen to do it, well, then it's still not going to help. But you don't need a Bedika to remarry.
Right, for the Rambam, there's no point doing a Bedika for the first husband or the Magid Mishnah, because it won't help you stay with the first husband, and you can marry the second husband without it. So it has no effect.
Right.
Correct. So it's obvious you wouldn't do it till. Good. Okay, let me just point out one nafkamina that's in the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkatan, where am I? Sifkatan, one second, I lost my place. Sifkatan Tesvav, nafkamina v'chakir we put on the board. What's the nafkamina? This made her mutter, right? And we assume not like the Rambam. She's mutter to stay with the third husband, right? We assume she's mutter to stay with the third husband, right? Muteret. Who said that? Someone said this on the page. It's clear from the next sif that he says, I feel about Shlishi, etc. Muteret. Lehi Sha'er Im Bala. Right? Not like the Magen Mishnah's shot in the Rambam. She's allowed to stay with her husband. So what? Why? Either because it's Misrapes, or either because of Ripoy, or because it's a proof of Tzadim. What's an Afkamina? What if Shinsha and Bala Virasa? She goes back, she's in Teresa, she goes back to her husband, she keeps bleeding, Shas Tashmish. Right? Virasa the Shas Tashmish. She keeps bleeding Mishas Tashmish. Is that okay? According to the Ritzbah and the Agos Maimonides, no. This proves she was Misrapa, but if she keeps seeing with her husband, she's obviously not Misrapa. Right? Then she should be Asura. Because obviously she's not Misrapa. But if you say it's a proof that it's from the Tzadin, things from Teres, what do you mean? Of course she's going to keep seeing. It's a proof that it's from the Tzadin. That's a big nafkamina. Right? She does this Bedika. Does that make her mutter no matter what? Or only mutter if she's good from now on. Big nafkamina. And that is discussed explicitly in the Pesachei Tshuva of Gantaz Vav. He says that the Chavos Das says mutter, which is exactly his shita, but the Sidrei Tara says usher, says you want to be makel, first answer all my proofs. And then you can be makel, and then he says a little later on, that Rav Chaim Tzanzer also is Mekel like the Chavos Das. Okay. And he also quotes a Nodeb Yehuda. So I'll point out in a second. So who says he's Shatan? Who says Asura? Who did I just say? The Sidrei Tara and the Nodeb Yehuda. And who says Muteres? The Chavos Das, which is he develops the Shita right in the back. And Rav Chaim Tzanzer. Okay. I didn't look that up inside. But I assume this is the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Tzanzer. It sounds like he was just quoted by the Nodeb Yehuda. So I don't know which Rav Chaim Tzanzer it was. I don't know how it works out historically. Okay.
We assume now that if she
leaves, according to the Chavos Das, they're like, yeah, we've now proven that if she pleases him, it's done. She now has a get out of jail free card for the rest of her life. And in which case, we might even assume that would go back to the Mari Harvitz, etc., that maybe she doesn't even have to go to the mikvah because it's proof that it's from the Tzadim. Although the Chavos Das himself was saying, no, like maybe it just happened to be coincidence, you know. The Chavos Das himself would probably make her go to the mikvah because he'd say, yeah, it's from the Tzadim, but maybe it just came out before Bia.
I mean, isn't there now, like, I remember we learned that if it's clear that the reason the blood came out was not from Dam Nida, so then you can use the mikvah. So here you did a test, and it was right at the Tashmish. So very likely it's not Dam Nida.
That's a good Hara. Yeah, you know, it could be. You have to look inside. Again, it's not going to come up, this exact case. It's a good question. Maybe Taka would be Motor, when it comes to us. Later, I think nobody who just says something quoted, and maybe with this I will end. He says something which is very clever, which is very poshut. Says the Nodeb Yehuda. Nodeb Yehuda says very poshut. Says the Nodeb Yehuda. He's very into. What's the Nodeb Yehuda very into? It's not necessarily a chiddush and shita. He's just very into going through this and like working it out. Everyone might agree with him if it works out. He says it depends. If lo motza dam v'chazra v'rasa machas tashmish, then she's asura. She didn't find any dam. The heifer is only ripoy, and it turns out she wasn't this rat base. But if matzah dam al tzdadei hakane, if in the bedika she found dam on the sides, and then chazra v'rasa machmas tashmish, then of course she's muteres. Meaning, says in the Yehuda, there's two totally different results with different sets of rules. If she found blood, I'm not talking she found blood in the bad place. If she found blood on the sides, that's proof of tzadin. And then even if she sees the rest of her life, she's okay. If she didn't find blood at all, that's a proof of ripoy. And if she then finds blood again, she's in trouble. And that's based on a chluk. The Rehuda says there's two different lumduses. There's two different positive results for two different reasons. Blood on the side is a proof of tzadin. No blood at all is a proof of refuah. However, Ben Chavos Das, there's only one positive result. Blood on the sides or nowhere, which both prove that it's tzadin. And that's certainly more maduric in the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, who just says, if you don't find blood on top, then it's a proof of tzadim. Sounds like whether you find it on the sides or not at all is the exact same thing. Not like the Nevi Yehuda makes a big tzvei dinim for everything. Okay, again, halacha l'maisa, I've never seen anyone do this because Shvo Ferris was not a zeh. But by the time we get to the next shiur, I think, we will get into, even though, you know, you'll say, well, this whole simon, you know, was like very interesting and had some nice cute lumdus, but never happened to be on a zeh. But A, I guess you never know, like if someone technically gets into the situation, they would have to deal with it somehow if they didn't have some medical proof of what was going on. But B, even more so, by the time we get to the next shiur, we'll see this is one of the biggest siman halachol ma'isim b'zman hazeh, because really ma'isim chol yom, some of the hardest questions that rabbis get in Hilchos Nida, are from siman kuf bei zayin, are the whole question of something that Eli already was merames to. Now, if a woman knows she has like some cut, but it also might have been her period, how do you know? And there are two possibilities: which possibility to attribute it to. And that's what we'll get to in a couple more seifim from now, Mirza Hashem, next time. You'll get the second word. At your leisure.
You mentioned that the Yaakov tells that.